Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now, another guy I highly recommend listening to. It is our guy, Mike Wall. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. He joins us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Former Packer offensive lineman, Mike Wall. How are we doing today, Mike?
I'm doing great, Sparky. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate it. When we talk about offensive line and potentially a train wreck of an offensive line, I have nobody else I trust more than I trust you when it comes to talking about what in the world is going on after that Cleveland game. First, let's start with former first-round pick Jordan Morgan. They continue to move him around. Now, Matt LaFleur earlier this week said maybe they have to rethink that, but we saw Jordan Morgan at right tackle. Talking to Packer beat writers, they're like, he wasn't there in training camp at any point that they remember. So they put him at right tackle. Then they change their mind after Banks goes out there in the first half at left guard. And then they move Morgan to left guard as well. Your thoughts on what they've been doing with Jordan Morgan and what you've seen from Jordan Morgan?
Well, let's start with what we've seen. You know, the part is obviously that he's a first-round draft pick. He gets drafted pretty high. So the expectation is he comes in and heart and helps out like now. Like the first, you know, on day one, he's going to be a productive member of the offense. And for a lot of Goody's picks over the last, you know, the last couple of years, that isn't necessarily the truth. So, you know, the expectations versus reality just don't really match up maybe for Jordan, for Lucas Van Ness, for a couple of these guys. But Jordan Morgan's going to be a good football player in this league. I think the issue right now, you know, we like to cross-train players, and they've had success in the past cross-training players. And quite frankly, cross-training young guys, unless you're, you know, hands down one of the better offensive left tackles in the game, is a very productive way, I think, to go about building your offensive line. But right now you can see that there's just there's a lot of things going into his head. And when that's happening – and you don't have a very good, let's just say, mastery of the technical processes of playing, let's say, left guard or right tackle, and all of a sudden you turn around and Myles Garrett's lined up against you, you know, everything kind of goes out the window. You start playing survival mode football, and things start going south real fast. And, you know, what happens not only with Jordan but with Coach LaFleur is, like, your play sheet becomes real blurry when Zach Tom goes out and the next guy goes in and gets beat immediately. And I think that's what is kind of a microcosm of this, you know, this issue.
My thing is, Myles Garrett, whoever it is, that doesn't matter much to me. My producer, Charlie Usen, played college football. Obviously never played pro or anything like that. And, you know, he's a left tackle, and he talks about all the time about how the footwork is completely different. Like, if you don't get a lot of reps at right tackle, now you're going over to right tackle and having to learn that on the fly. Then we're moving from right tackle in game back over to left guard. There's a lot going on there, probably from a mental and physical standpoint as well. And then, like you said, you're doing it in the game against Myles Garrett.
That's why I got lost you there. One more set.
That's okay. My point just was with Jordan Morgan to say, okay, I'm comfortable at left tackle, and then you don't practice at right tackle, so you go out there and you have to figure that out in-game on the fly. Then they move you in-game back to the left side. It wasn't like he went right tackle to right guard. They moved him all the way back over to the other side, which, again, the footwork changes, right, Mike? So that puts him even more of an impossible situation.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, it's not like you're playing you're a baseball pitcher and you got to throw with the other hand, or you're a soccer player, you got to play with the other foot, but like the timing and everything isn't the same. And the problem is that people don't understand is that it takes literally thousands of reps on your dominant side to get what we would just call automatic mastery of that technique. And so if you haven't spent, you know, literally thousands, that's why you see, Sparky, when you see guys doing short sets, deep sets, angle sets, wide sets, and they get beat all the time, It's like, well, because they're not very good at them. They haven't spent thousands of reps doing that. And so if you've been trying to play left tackle or left guard, and all of a sudden you got to go over and play right tackle, put your other hand on the ground, change your set, and then you got to move halfway, you know, halfway during the game over to another position where everything is completely backwards and in kind of a different range profile from the defensive tackle to the defensive end. Like, that stuff is incredibly difficult, particularly for a young player who, quite frankly, doesn't have his technique down at any one position yet anyways. So it's just you're heaping a lot on the guy. Obviously, he's a great athlete. Obviously, he's a competitor. But you're asking a lot, and we kind of saw it at the end there. Like, maybe you just next time put Belton in. He's a huge body. He's a good athlete. At the very least, he's going to put up a different kind of fight at 330 than Jordan is at 310.
Talk about Belton a little bit, Mike Wall, as far as what you've seen from him so far this year as a rookie, second-round pick, being put out there to play probably more than they wanted to put him out there to play early on in the season.
Yeah, you know, I like him. It's just like the rest of these guys. There's a project process or phase of this that he's kind of skipping through right now. But you like him. You like the way he moves. I think he's going to be a tackle over a guard just because of the way he bends and his general size. He looks very comfortable coming out of a two-point stance and either side of the football. I like a lot of the stuff. It's just, you know, again, this is a bad litmus test. Going into Cleveland, playing against one of the better defenses in the league, playing against the best defensive player in football. It's just a lot to ask. And as we kind of go through this process with this eight-man rotation we have on the offensive line, I think they're going to figure out that, you know, he's probably going to be the top swing guy at the tackle position, and maybe Jordan stays inside and tries to battle it out there for a spot either as the backup guard or center, wherever they decide to do.
Tom, former Packer offensive lineman Mike Wall. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. He joins us on Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law, here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer with you. What about Elgton Jenkins, you know, making that move over to center? The man's played every position on the offensive line, I'm pretty sure, at this point. The latest being moved from guard to center. How has he done to this point, and what is he still trying to figure out here going forward?
Well, listen, the reason that Elgton Jenkins has been so valuable for this team overall is because he's been able in a pinch to play multiple positions and play them well. The drop-off isn't very extreme from him, from his what I think is his best position, a left guard to tackle or center. But when you look at it from a center position, the footwork is different because a lot of stuff's coming off that midlife stand.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With the ball between your legs, obviously. We talked about it on the show after the second snap when they give up the sack. You know, like, their whole procedure for shotgun is, for lack of a better term, asinine. I don't understand how this is still an issue. But talking about his play overall, you know, Sparky, the hard part there is, like, you have a guy who's a Pro Bowl left guard, and you move him to center and replace him with somebody who's not, you know, in my opinion, is not quite as good of a guard. When you look at the defensive tackles in this league and who really gives you problems, it's like it's the three techniques. And so, you know, even if he comes out and becomes an all-pro and becomes on the same level of Creed Humphrey or Tyler Linderbaum over in Baltimore, like, I still don't know if that makes sense to replace that position with a lesser player when you have a guy that's just been a stalwart in Elgton Jenkins. So, you know, I never like the move. I don't really like it. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's playing poorly, but I don't think his footwork and pad level suits at center maybe necessarily as well as it suited a guard.
Mike, what about this deal where Rashid Walker gets beat quickly on a move by Myles Garrett? Garrett takes off running, and this thing's gone viral where he's yelling, "Run, Jordan, run!" How much of the offensive linemen yelling at their quarterback, telling them that pretty much they just got beat and get your butt going, actually happens? Because, I don't know, man, like, they're making a big deal about it. Richard Sherman was really blowing it up, acting like he's never seen anything like it before in the time he played in the league. Is it that uncommon?
No.
That's what I thought. Okay.
No. Listen, let me tell you something. We've all said it. And I'll tell you, the Vinny Testaverde was like 41 years old, which I know doesn't seem old now, but it was old back then when he was playing for the Panthers one year. And I remember I got beat early, and it was like, look out, you know, give him a lookout block kind of deal. And we got back to the huddle because he just let it rip. And he's like, look, man, it's cool if you lose early. Just don't lose late because I can't get rid of the football. So if you lose early, just yell for it, and the ball's gone. No problem.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. That's obviously good advice. That thing went viral. I'm like, I don't feel like it's that uncommon. I know they're making a big deal of it, like it's Forrest Gump or something, but it just didn't seem that uncommon. The other question I have is the play of Rashid Walker at this point, because that's another guy. Like, if they decide, okay, Jordan Morgan, you're not going to play anywhere but left tackle, I then get concerned of them trying to force Jordan Morgan onto the field and start rotating him with Rashid Walker at left tackle. If Walker is struggling at any point, obviously, just like everybody else in the offensive line, wasn't the best against Cleveland. What have you made of his play through 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think he's an extremely solid tackle in this league. I think he's going to command a big contract next year. Look, when you look at, again, let's just go back to the snap count problem or how we do our silent count. You've got your left tackle looking all the way in at the ball. You know, Sparky, if you just sit up in your chair right now, and you look to your right and get in kind of this like little, you know, linear racehorse stance, and then snap your head to the left and kick back as fast as you can. Like, bad things start happening when there's a fast dude on the other side of you. This kind of stuff is not an anomaly because they might not fix the snap count issues, but I think generally when you start looking at like the play we just referenced or a couple other plays in the game, those plays are more a consequence of how we're dealing with that snap count than anything else. I think generally these guys are playing well. Can they play much better in the run game? Absolutely. Is that part of that? Is just the rotations and Matt LaFleur not figuring out exactly what we're good at yet? I think that's a big part of the problem.
Talking with Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. I want to get your thoughts on the defensive side of the ball for this Packers team. But even though they lost that game, defense, I thought, played pretty well. You get Micah Parsons now returning to Dallas coming up on Sunday night. Talk from the offensive line standpoint, what it's like dealing with a guy like Micah Parsons when you still have Cooper out there, you still have Rashawn Gary out there, you still have Quay Walker blitzing from time to time, and everything else that defense can now present against an opposing offense.
Well, having a weapon like that where you can line up kind of really anywhere on the field and really, you know, let's bunch. Micah Parsons is a special pass rusher because of his speed and his leverage. He's just kind of, he out-athletes everybody else. He out-better humans everybody else. But let's put him in the same bucket as Quay and Cooper in the sense that those are guys that can literally line up all over the board and present these kind of number issues for an offensive line as far as their count. They present leverage issues as far as speed against centers and guards when they run on pick stunts. And then, of course, with a guy like Micah Parsons, you can line him up against a tackle, and he's just as quick to beat one of those good elite offensive tackles like he has in past weeks already than he's going to beat than anybody else. So I really like those three guys and what they kind of add to the defense as far as the pass rush. Obviously, Rashawn Gary is a great player, but he's also been kind of a beneficiary of some of that. You saw last week, like, they decided not to even block him and give him a couple free ones. And, you know, the guys inside have to be given a lot of credit. We got rid of our two starting defensive tackles last year, DJ Slayton and Kenny Clark, and the young guys are really stepping up, and they're creating pressure in the pocket, and they're doing a great job against the run game. And I just love the overall intensity of the box players, really the entire team, but the overall intensity of the box players and the way they're running the football is even better than it was last year. And this is one of the better football teams on defense that we've seen in a long time here in Green Bay. It's exciting to watch.
I have one more for you. Peyton Manning said on Monday Night Football, we played it yesterday on the show, that he, you know, his rule changes that he would have if he was commissioner of the NFL or whatever. One of them was he would ban defensive linemen from jumping, moving forward. I would assume from your perspective, you'd probably be all aboard that train.
What was it? One more time.
He wants to ban defensive linemen from being able to jump. So they have to stay, both feet have to stay on the ground. They can no longer jump to block passes or anything of the sort.
I guess so. This is pretend stuff. I want to get rid of hot dogs. I mean, I suppose that would be a fantastic idea. But here's the deal with the difference between Peyton Manning and an offensive lineman is if he jumps, that's really Peyton Manning like getting a incomplete pass or whatever. If he jumps for me, that means he's not pass rushing anymore. So it doesn't bother me that much. I'll just take it. I'll punch him one time in the stomach and see what happens.
I love it. That's good stuff. Mike Wall, former Packers offensive lineman. Follow him on Twitter at MikeWall68. Tell everybody about the podcast you got going on.
Yeah, we did the Black Party podcast. We did it twice this week. One's coming out tomorrow, and we do a preview and then a post-game review. Check out the Browns one on our Process to Perform channel. Hey, Sparky, thanks for having me on, man. It was fun.
I always love having Mike Wall on. Mike, thank you so much. I appreciate it. There is Mike Wall, Fangas Hotline. On the Powered by Gruber Law, one call, that's all.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.